In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In Galatians 5:22, St. Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, he says, is opposed to the works of the flesh. The fruit of the Spirit, you have on the one hand, which is opposed to the works of the flesh. Now, the works of the flesh are those things that are sinful. They have to do with our fallen flesh, our sinfulness, our passionate state that we're in. These are evil things that human beings do in rebellion towards God and in cruelty and selfishness towards one another. And St. Paul says that those who practice them will not inherit the kingdom of God. But if we are in Christ, he says, then we have to crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. That means overcoming our selfishness. And when we walk in the Holy Spirit, then we experience the fruit of the Spirit. And what is that fruit? St. Paul tells us 9 things that are fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's a pretty good list. Virtues, or fruits of the Spirit, that God desires to grant us and that we must also desire to receive. For my next 9 Sunday sermons, I'm going to talk about these 9 fruits of the Spirit, focusing on one in each sermon. So we begin today with the first one, which is love. As an introduction to love as a fruit of the Spirit, we can think about the fact that today we commemorate St. John the Baptist's conception. We know that his mother, St. Elizabeth, was barren and had never had children. And of course, she and her husband, Zacharias, who was a high priest, they desired to have children and they begged God for that, but he hadn't given it to them. Then, of course, we know the story. When Archangel Gabriel appeared to Zacharias, he couldn't believe it. Even though they had been seeking that and asking God for it, then he doubted when the time actually came. He didn't believe it because they were so old. And then, of course, he was mute for a whole year until St. John was born. And when he named St. John, he was able to speak again. So we all know this story. And we see that the theme of barren women becoming fruitful is one that we find often in Scripture. We see this throughout the Old Testament. We have a number of examples, you know, Sarah, and then Rebecca, and Rachel, and Hannah. Many times we see this happen. And then, of course, we have Saints Joachim and Anna, and Saint Elizabeth. This is a theme that comes to us again and again. And this theme is related, tied to the theme of love as the first and foremost of the fruits of the Spirit. In Greek, there are a few different words for love. There are words that mean slightly different things. In English, we only have one word for love. But in Greek, you have several words that mean different things. And the word that St. Paul uses here, when he talks about love as the fruit of the Spirit, is agape. Agape, just like we say for the Vespers of Pascha, the agape Vespers. See, this is the word, meaning love. And it's not just any love. This is pure love, Christian love. It's not the same thing as desire or wanting something. It's not anything selfish. It's not like when we say, I love coffee, or I love ice cream, or something like that. We may very much love coffee and ice cream, but it's not this kind of love that we're talking about. This is the kind of love that God is calling us to have for one another and for Him. And it means that you go without coffee on Sunday morning because you want Jesus' body and blood to be the first thing that goes into your mouth and that you consume. You see? That's the kind of love that it is. It's sacrificial love. And it means that sometimes you go without ice cream or only have a little bit because you want to share with someone else. That's the kind of love that we're talking about. This love is the fruit of the Spirit because it comes from God. But it also bears fruit. So we receive it as a fruit, but it also bears fruit within us. If you want to understand what love is, how it works, where it comes from, and what it produces, this is the answer. Love bears fruit. Love is fruitful. It helps to give birth to all the other fruit of the Spirit within us. And we see this again in the examples of all of those women in Scripture who were barren and then gave birth to children by God's grace. God allowed them to be barren at first so that then their love for Him could be refined and could be revealed. It could be made pure and then it could shine forth to the world as an icon for us. So they and their husbands waited and they struggled and they wept and they prayed and they begged God for a child. Again, Sarah and Rebecca and Rachel and Hannah and many more, all the way down to Saints Joachim and Anna and Saints Zacharias and Elizabeth. And in every case, God gave fruitfulness. He gave fruitfulness to them as a sign of His love, not only for the parents, but for all of mankind. Through them, for all of us. And also in every case, the parents had to demonstrate their love for God by trusting Him, waiting for Him, praying without ceasing to Him. And when they did that, they became fruitful. So it's the same for us. Love is what inspires great things in our lives. It can even inspire us to endure hardships for the sake of our beloved God, as we see in the cases of the saints. And we see this even in simple human examples. In everyday life, and even romantic love can be an illustration of this. Think about Jacob, how he worked for 14 years for Laban in order to have his wife, Rachel. He loved her. And so it says that the 14 years passed like one day because of his love for her. That's an image for us of the love we must have for God. We see this spiritual love in the saints who do incredible things for Christ and for other people. They go hungry, they suffer tortures, they can even be martyred because of their love, inspired by love for God. And we see this powerfully in the example of Saint Siloam of Mount Athos, whom we commemorate tomorrow on September 24th. Saint Siloam was known for this incredible compassion and love, where he would literally weep in prayer for all the people of the world. And he would think about everybody who's suffering, innocent children and people in wars and all of these things, and he would weep in prayer for the whole world. And because of this great love that he had, he would never speak anything negative about anyone. And so one time, he was sitting at a meal in the refectory, the dining hall, and he was sitting at the table, and the other monks started to gossip. And they started to talk about a certain other monk, and the one who was speaking says, "He always does this, and he never does that, and he's a terrible monk," and all of these things. And Saint Siloam was just eating his food and not saying anything. And so the one who was speaking said, "What about you, Father Siloam? Don't you agree with me?" And he said, "Father," he said, "in all of the years that you've known me here in the monastery, have you ever heard me say anything negative about anyone?" He thought about it and he said, "No." He said, "Why do you want me to begin now?" See? This was because it was genuine. It wasn't some technique. It wasn't, you know, somebody said you should not talk badly about people. It was because of the love that was within him for everyone. And Saint Siloam would say, "We lose our peace because we do not have love for the people of God." When we don't live with love for those around us, we lose our peace. They drive us crazy, you know. We become irritable, irritated, frustrated all the time because we're not getting our way, you see. So he says, when we don't have real love for the people around us, we lose our peace. The source of all our problems is that love is missing. We get angry, we get irritated, and so on. We turn our zeal against other people. But that's not why God gave us zeal. He gave us zeal, you know that? He gave us the ability even to be angry. But He didn't give it to us to use against other people. He intends our zeal to give energy to our love, to give fire to our love, to supercharge it, for us to act for other people, not against other people, to give us strength for great deeds of love like we see in the martyrs and all the saints. So love makes us fruitful in our relationships with other human beings. When love is present, the fruit of the Spirit, all the fruits of the Spirit will follow, including joy and peace. And emptiness is overcome, and sorrow is overcome, and every obstacle is overcome. The test of our love comes, of course, when we face obstacles, when things or people get in the way of what we want or what we're trying to do, or maybe just when we're really tired. This is where the rubber meets the road. Do we really love God, and do we really love other people? Do we really have that fruit of the Spirit called love, or are we kidding ourselves? St. Peter began to learn this lesson about himself in this event that we just heard about in the Gospel. When, after a long night of fishing, when they had caught nothing, the Lord comes, he just shows up, and he gets in their boat and he says, "Push out." And they push out, and then he preaches to everybody from the boat, everybody on the shore. And then after he finishes preaching, he says, "Let's go back out and put down your nets for a catch." And you know, St. Peter begins to grumble at first. And he says, "We're so tired, Lord. You know, Lord, we labored, we toiled all night long, and we caught nothing." So you see that first inclination that we have so often to grumble and to say no and to whine and to be frustrated with the situation and to be tired and to make excuses. "Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing." So you can hear that frustration in his voice. But then he gets inspired by the grace of God. And he says, "Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets." And what happened? He became fruitful. He received abundantly because he simply listened to the Lord's word and he received love. And he caught, of course, the fishermen, the disciples, they caught more fish than their nets could even hold, and their nets were breaking. This is telling us that when we open ourselves up to God's love, He'll give it to us in abundance, more than we can even handle, more than we can contain. But we have to say yes to Him. If we love God and if we want His will, then His will happen in our life. If we love God and we seek what He wants for us, He will bless us abundantly, 100-fold. If we're doing His will, even though we may encounter obstacles, God's love will overcome them. Because love can overcome every obstacle. God's love, that is, divine love. Even if we've been barren in the past, that's no obstacle for God's love. So the scripture says, "Rejoice, O barren one." Rejoice, O barren one. Rejoice and love God. And God's love will turn your barrenness into fruitfulness. May God the Father, through His Son, Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit, grant the fruitfulness of His love to us, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.